If they believed that death was the entrance into a life where only the unselfish and the pure of heart could find happiness, they would of necessity change their mode of living. 58. The desire to help. How we wish we could see our friends over there. Will the world ever come into the truth that visible and invisible mingle together, and both are everywhere present? Only a few believe it. Yes, we know, and the hope of the future rests with those few. But the bad spirits influence the earth life also? Yes, we know that too. And therein lies the greater need of knowledge. Malicious spirits are ever trying to control human influence. They do succeed many, many times, and selfishness, war, deception, suicides, murders, and a host of other evils are the result. If the world, the human world, only knew, they could then control these influences. But instead of practical work and preventive policies, they punish the wicked when some especially flagrant act brings them to view. We would even leave our blessed happiness here if we could return for a while to give humanity the truth as we have learned it here. Joan of Arc. We had been reading aloud from an account of the life of Joan of Arc written from a psychic viewpoint. Afterwards, comments were made through the pencil as follows. We were listening to the reading. We know much of her here. She has advanced to much higher spheres, but her history and accounts of her life here on this plane are in our libraries and are much read. She had a wonderful character to begin with. Then she was influenced by strong spirits here who were working for the nation they still loved. It was during a time when fighting was considered the noblest profession, and the world was in such condition that armies were needed to control the people. We do not think any leader could receive such power now to lead armies. But we do think that leaders for a great movement towards guiding the world into righteous thought could and would be influenced from here, and might even be led as Joan was led. It is the thought of some here that such a leader will appear on earth soon. But it is something we know little about. Whether they are saying this with true prophetic power, or whether it is simply a hope that combined influence from here will bring this about, we do not know. When we see the tendencies of much of humanity today, we realize that something of this kind should come to pass. We are lending our small influence in that direction, but we are not in the councils of the great leaders here. You may be sure that influence from here will not be lacking. What effect it will have, the future will tell. Cite. You have taken our last message correctly, as we can see by reading what you have written. So you have acquired that ability. 59. Yes, I think I can read as fast as you can write. It is rather a new accomplishment on this side. That is, it is new in this application. We think in this way we can avoid mistakes, and can stop you when you allow wrong words or phrases to come from your subconscious mind. Do you actually see the writing, or do you get it in some other way? We do see the writing, but not just as you see it. I fear I cannot describe the process so you can understand it. We do not get it through your mind, but neither do we get it through rays of light coming from the paper. Does it make a difference if my writing is less legible? Yes, it does make a difference. Then of course you do get it from the writing itself. Yes, but not in the way with which you are familiar. The watchers, is anyone here? Yes, we are left as watchers, and have waited for you to come. Where are the rest of the circle? With friends, exploring some of the planes and circles where spirits dwell. Can they go to other planes? Many circles are near, but also Mary and Dee could progress to higher planes if they so desired. But their love for those on earth keeps them here where they can be in touch with you. Spirit has powers you can scarcely discern. We are just the watchers while the others are away. But we wish we could give you some knowledge, some realization of the life, of the spirit. Many worldly ones feel a keen disappointment when they first arrive, because all is so different, because all depends upon spirit knowledge, spirit powers, which they so entirely neglected to develop when on earth. The value of communication. We remarked that the knowledge that communication was possible should convince people of the truth of a future life, and of the need of right living while here. We believe that to be the greatest of all reasons for the coming together of the two worlds. The fact that life goes on without any miracle, that the human soul begins here as it left off there, that there is no wonderful transformation of character, that evil remains evil until the soul turns of its own accord toward the good, that sin does reap its own reward, that there is no hell except the one created by one's own self, that all, can rise through gloom, disappointment, sin and selfishness, to something high, holy and grand, and forever live in happiness and usefulness. Are these things worth the thought of mortals? 60. That is what we believe, and why we try to send the truths of this life to earth. The world needs a new inspiration. Is that inspiration here and now? It is difficult to impress the world because of the stigma attached to spiritualism. Has the world ever received a great truth at once? The world has come through a great darkness and ignorance. We here who began our conscious life on that planet, love it and wish to purify its thought, that mortals who still remain may rise to higher level, and heavenly love and kindness be the law of life. Think what that would mean. Death. We referred to a sentence which had been written some time before, something like this: death to you is a darkened way, to us it is a path of light. In reply the pencil wrote, we do not remember it, but it is true. There is no darkness for us as we watch our loved ones coming across the little dividing line. We think that the close of life should be lifted out of its sorrow and fear and regarded only as a peaceful sleep, with a blessed and bright awakening. This of course refers to those who have cultivated their spirit life when on earth. Death may indeed be a darkened path for those who have no fitness for this life, and yet it is not the death, but the awakening which is so dreary and oftentimes terrible for those whose lives have not been just or merciful or spiritual. And at another time, one thought we will leave with you. Take neither thought nor anxiety for the future life. Have no dread of death, which is only a coming, a rebirth, into this life. Do what you can to help others into an understanding of the immortal life of the human soul, and live in happy contentment and confidence of your future, now and ever. And still further, never be afraid of death. It is only the final sleep of the mortal mind, and has no power to affect the spirit mind. That grows stronger and brighter and more active from the moment of separation, until it becomes so educated and balanced that it is the all-in-all of spirit life. I found it so, for I went to sleep in the mortal mind, and discovered at last that I was more vividly awake than ever. The joy of spirit life joy is so closely united with service here that the two can scarcely be separated. You are thinking that this would not be so with the weak or the wicked. Possibly true. 61. But through sympathy, understanding, teaching, or companionship, we learn that we help, and are joyous in that unseen help. Congeniality is the foundation of friendship here, and it leaves no room for friction or jarring notes. We cannot give a perfect description of this life, there are many things which we know are past your comprehension. But we are happy and glad to be of service to those who need us, and service is half of our life here. By this statement we do not wish to make service seem unpleasant. It never is. For the joy of helping others is great, and too, it makes our own resting times or recreation times more happy. I suppose as spirit nature is higher and finer than human nature, so the joy of spirit life far exceeds that of mortal life. Joy is joy wherever it comes. But here there is no background of sorrow or regret, no fear for the future. Many times our joy is an all-pervading contentment. Many times it is an infinite desire to gift the world proof of the heavenly life. Sometimes a tender sorrow for those who cannot see or know. Can you understand? I can see that those who believe that death ends all must have times of bitter grief. Yes, the belief that human life is limited to a few short years, and beyond, only darkness, the darkness which they have wrapped about their own souls. The spirit body and spirit conditions. We do have bodies, do use hands, arms and feet, can talk, can sing if we wish. These are the mechanical processes that are puzzling you. We cannot throw entire light upon it all, but perhaps it may help you to think of the material from which our bodies are constructed. This body is unseen by you, but is with you now, else how could you think, how could you move, speak, sing, or how could the emotions stir your heart and brain? Invisibility is not nothingness, nor is spirit substance invisible to us. We have been told that the spirit body could be contracted so that many could come into the room, that spirit could even balance on a needle point. We know that is a problem with you. We could stand on a needle point because we could balance there and our weight would not destroy the needle. It means lightness rather than smallness there. We can go into a room, many, very many at a time, because we can contract a little. Do you not sometimes fold your arms tightly, or draw your feet under your chair, to create more room? Something like this occurs with us semicolon I mean analogous to that. We can fold ourselves more readily, and into smaller compass than the material body can do. But the effort is nearly the same. And no one feels crowded if one's arms and hands are contracted, or if the body is drawn into its smaller circumference. As for the rest, be assured that we do have the spirit counterpart of all the blessed things on earth: libraries, homes, flowers or lakes or groves. But we do not have the clumsy and awkward material things which are found necessary on earth. We do not need cars, or balloons or automobiles. Oh, no. Life is easier than that, and travel a luxury, and movement a delight. 62 I suppose we are invisible to you? Yes, you are nearly as invisible to us as we are to you, for our vibrations are too high to be of use in earthly material. But we do dimly perceive, and by practice we can get a fair idea of human beings and earthly material. It seems to us you miss much if you cannot see the beauty of nature here. No, we do not. For we have the fairer counterpart here. Groves, mountains, lakes and valleys, all are here as we wish. They are a part of our spirit world and remain. Does your scenery always remain the same? Perhaps not quite the same, for the reason that we can change its outlines if we wish, sometimes as you cut down a forest, tear down buildings to create a better view, or turn a watercourse out of its ordinary channel. When the first man went to heaven, he found a world ready for him, did he? We believe so. We believe this spirit world is as much God's creation as the earthly world. Could it be that it was in a plain, crude form, and that spirit has transformed it throughout the ages? Probably that is true. For instance, electricity has always existed, but it took man millions of years to find it out and control it. There are still good gifts in that earth world of yours which man has not yet found. But he has been guided towards many of the hidden gifts of nature, and will sometime find and use the rest. Life, can you tell us what life is? We know nothing at all about it, except that it is. Life stands out and away from all argument as an ever-present truth, always manifesting its own truth. What we believe is that life is the gift of God, the one perfect gift among many perfect gifts which we may enjoy without even understanding. You are asking questions not even we who are here can answer. Perhaps farther on in our eternal life and activity we may know, but now, creation, infinity, eternity, from everlasting to everlasting, why? By whom? How? These are questions which have remained without answer for unknown ages. Be content to wonder, to live, to enjoy, to serve. Let the higher knowledge remain to lure you onto higher efficiency and greater wisdom. We live the life, but do not solve its mystery. There is a power beyond, a great, kind power. Of this we are sure, more sure than ever in mortal life. We know that for us to be true, pure, unselfish, loving and helpful leads us toward that power. I am speaking now of what we on this lower plane perceive. Do not think for an instant that knowledge is limited to this lower plane. Life and knowledge are progressive. We cannot begin here above what we had prepared ourselves for in our mortal lives. 63. But the blessed law of progress is ours, always stimulating to new endeavor and new happiness. Every moment fills us with joy. We live, we love, we serve. Is this not enough? The heart of it all is love, happiness, service. In mortal life, contrast seems necessary to complete our joy that is the human experience. Here there are varied forms of interest: new pleasures, new knowledge, and more far-reaching than these, the service we can give to those who need it. We have much work with the undeveloped, and much more of patient effort to win the really criminal ones into better and purer lives. So you see we have the contrasts after all. We do not suffer, because we know that all will be well at last. There is no hopelessness, you see. Does the thought of eternal life ever weary you as it does our finite conceptions? Do not try to comprehend the activity and joy of eternal living and doing. This truth was not given to man to weary him. Perhaps the comprehension of eternal existence is kept from the human brain purposely. It is a tremendous thought, almost too much for us here to realize, and altogether too much for the mortal brain. Let it go. Think of rest, or sleep, or even unconsciousness, if you prefer. All will be well, and your every need will be cared for. Never fear. Weariness does not exist for us. The humorist, after a rather serious communication, our leader once wrote, "It may be quite a contrast to what you have had, but we would also like to bring to you a man who looks continuously at the humorous side of life." He was not a professional humorist on earth, but we think we missed his calling not to have been one. He is the life of our circle at times, never takes anything seriously, yet has the kindest heart of anyone. He then took the pencil. "I am afraid your leader has put me on a pedestal, as it were, where I cannot make many motions without failing off. She is really the one who inspires us. She is the one we all look to for strength and guidance. We do not have disheartening tasks here, so my humor has little to commend it as an aid towards making life easier and happier. But I have always seen the funny side of everything, and often see humor when it is hidden from others. I am not going to crack any jokes in this writing, but I do want to tell the earth people that they should not be so long-faced and sad-visaged whenever the words death and spirit are mentioned. Life is continuous. Death is but an incident. Parting is only for a moment. And heaven is right at hand. If only this could be comprehended, we feel that life there would be more nearly one of contentment and happiness. We have so much to make us happy here that no doubt we forget many of the irritating things of earth. But we do remember that many of the circumstances that should brighten life there are either overlooked or forgotten, or in some instances never known." 64. An experience. "I am not skilled in the use of the pencil, but I would like to express my pleasure at the messages that have come to us from earth. You know, the old earth has never countenanced anything so mysterious before. And had I known of spirit communication when I was there, my life would have been far happier." "Did you not believe in spirit communication?" "Not entirely. How can a person believe in unseen powers when he is absorbed and narrowed by the seen ? By the essentials of that life? I did not, at all events. And I approached the close of life with a fear that was almost horror. I was not wicked, as the world thinks of wickedness, but bound by the material and visible. And when the final test came, I could not find the spiritual and unseen. So I passed, and my friends must have had little consolation in the thought of my entering upon new conditions." "How did it fare with you?" "I sank, out of extreme pain, into a sleep so gentle and peaceful, I think it would have been all right if I had never awakened again. But the waking came slowly, hardly consciously, until I finally knew that the terror was over, and about me were kindness and helpfulness. You probably cannot imagine those first moments of exquisite joy that I felt in the new life, a new opportunity to make good, in a way, in a small way, but with such visions of larger opportunity before me that the life here has become truly the great adventure. I will go now. They tell me Mary and Dee are coming. Goodbye. We are here, Mary and Dee. Surprised enough at your recent visitor. But there is no harm in his communicating, and also his guides were with him. So you have had one more testimony, one more experience as to entering upon this unknown life. A day in spirit land we might tell you of our wanderings today. How do you know it is day? It is always light, but we do know when your sun hides its face from you, and we use your expressions of day and night, which you would understand better than our continuous light and our limitless activity. For spirit sight does not require the sun. Where did you wander today? We had a short trip to a nearby asteroid, for one thing: life only at its beginning, the vegetation not yet ready for animal life. But we found it interesting. But we were not gone a great while, at least it did not seem long to us. Then we had a sort of informal meeting of our circle to decide on plans for study and travel and what else? Pleasure. 65 isn't all your work pleasure? So it is. But we do sometimes give ourselves up to pleasures which have no object except enjoyment. Do you see? It is our pleasure to study, it is our pleasure to help others, it is our pleasure to go to libraries, or to other circles to watch their methods of teaching and helping. But once in a while we have, well, just that, a good time. What do you do? I do not think I can tell you exactly, because everything happens on the spur of the moment. Someone has an inspiration and we are all swept into it. It isn't cards, it isn't dancing, it isn't motoring. It is just the delightful letting down of our serious selves, just the happy interchange of thought and action. I am afraid we do not understand much of spirit life. We know you do not. Neither did we before we came. But not all here is serious. We are not always studying big problems. We do have the delight of variety, of geniality, of the play of wit, the charm of perfect companionship. D.D., I was thinking today of the advance you have made since you have been on that side, how your conversation and communications come with so much firmness and conviction. You have grown much, I am sure. I know that I have more knowledge, I feel that I have more power, I am certain I have many loyal friends. Who could help gaining confidence with this backing? We feel that all the more we have a duty to perform. As leaders of this circle, we feel that we must be able to guide them aright. We are studying and learning all the time, and the old saying, knowledge is power, has much truth. Time written on my birthday, we know nothing about birthdays here. You will forget them when you come. We never think of the passing of time, for it means nothing to us. You have no idea what a sense of freedom this gives. The feeling that one must do certain things at a certain time is gone, and yet it brings no sense of laziness. We have more ambition in every way. There is pleasure and interest in every moment. And then too, you can scarcely realize what it means to have no physical pain nor weariness, no disappointment, no sorrow. Can you guess what it means? You say you have no disappointments? We have no disappointments that grieve. If either of you were to turn away from us, we would be deeply grieved, our love would have a shock. Yet we would know that it would pass and that you would return to us. Love here is not disappointed. Those who are meant for each other always come into loving companionship. Even circles are drawn together by mutual sympathy and love. Our circle is large, for many, many, wish to hear from loved ones on earth. Yet not an alien thought, not an unwise criticism, not a word, question or look, which is not in accordance and sympathy with the rest. 66 How do you get any interest from opposing opinions? We have plenty of those, but always in friendliness. So it is that we help each other, so it is that our plans grow more perfect, so it is that in varying suggestions, in the varieties of study and knowledge, in helping each other. The pencil stopped, but of course the intention was to show the way that harmony was attained. The way the closing sentence was broken off shows the effort on their part to prevent errors in our writing. It will be noted that the last phrase was a repetition of the first one in the sentence. This was evidently noticed by them. Such a cessation in the writing often causes a long pause before the proper adjustment of power to continue can be attained. In this instance, it was near the close of the evening's writing, and it was not resumed. Philosophy. When you come to this side, you will learn that philosophy is a greater study here than on earth. It is treated as a more comprehensive subject. We include all that you would class under ethics and religion. In fact, we make it include all the studies of life as they pertain to the advance of the soul. It is not a subject for debate or controversy, just one of inquiry. It has drawn many of the great minds of earth into its study, as they have learned its value on this side. We have as a consequence many who are looked up to as great leaders in philosophical thought, and we hope in time to give you some of their conclusions. The interfering spirits. Two spirits were writing of their experiences there when the writing trailed off allegedly and stopped. Sis asked if what she had written was correct. No, that was not our writing. We are not the ones you called. We took the pencil when the others stopped a moment. We wish to write. How else can you understand the futility of trying to communicate with unseen friends? There is nothing comiform, face, presence, to identify us. We who are unbelievers in the vain attempt to enlighten the world as to this life, believe you are better off to give it all up, and live out your earthly life without thought of the future, at least without belief in the presence in your dense earthly atmosphere of spirit friends. If it is so dense, how did you come? We came through it all to enlighten you a bit. Give it up. It can't be done. We. Here there was a change in the writing as our leader, Mary, broke in. Well, you have had a lesson in unbelief, haven't you? Don't let it disturb you, dear. We cannot help the interfering ones coming in now and then. But we believe you are not unduly influenced by them. Why do they do it? 67 Because they are not yet spiritually developed, and use the reasoning powers and beliefs that were theirs on earth. At another time Sis had some trouble with such interference. That evening the following was written: Mary and D are here. We know someone interfered today, and that the Watchers drove them away. How do they do it? We have to use the power of the mind. But its sharp thrusts are sometimes almost equal to dagger points. Is that quite in the spirit of love? You are told to resist evil, are you not? Yes, surely. Well, when gentle means will not drive malicious forces away, we may use sterner ones, may we not? I suppose so. They wrote your names? We know, and that is the way the Watchers knew them as malicious. They must make you a lot of trouble? Not at all. Our work is one of love, and a desire to be helpful to mortals, and that drives away any thought of trouble or weariness. I shouldn't think you could keep watch of us all day long. We do in a way, not always in close companionship, but a sort of magnetic wave which tells us where you are and what is needed. At still another time some outsider wrote a few words. Mary explained, another spirit seized the pencil while we had turned away a moment. He was not criminal, just curious, and longing to try the experiment. The spirit world, you know, surrounds the earth, and spirits are ever wandering to and fro. We guard you from all evil ones, but this one seemed so anxious to try that we did not interfere for a moment. It is curious how amidst all the variety, all the attractions, and all the beauty here, the human mind slips back to its first home, and wishes to hear from the blessed old earth from which it came. Privacy of thought respected. Being told that most intercourse was by thought transference, we asked if all thought there was apparent to all spirits. 68 We do not have our soul thoughts always on exhibition. There are unseen, holy, or loving places in each one's soul, that are sacred to oneself. How is it possible to be busy all the time? If you wish rest and silence, the rest and silence are for you. In your mortal life the thought of continuous, never-ending activity is rather appalling. But remember that either rest or activity is for you to choose. Never doubt this. The neighbor spirits, we are members of another circle, but we are not used to writing yet, and cannot express our thoughts easily. But we would like to tell you of our life here, for we are busy and happy, yet with infinite possibilities before us. Think what it means to study any of the great sciences from this side. To study the stars and suns, for instance, the homes of multitudes of spirits. For each planet has a spirit zone surrounding it to which their own spirits go. There is, of course, intercommunication between the planets, and we are made happy by visitors from faraway zones. They tell us of a spirit life the same as ours, but of differing conditions in each planet, and that their bodies are made to conform to the conditions. Eyes can be made which penetrate darkness, bodies there are which delight in intense cold, ears may be attuned to the music of the spheres, a poetic expression of mortal mind, but which means more than mortal mind has ever guessed. Obsession. Many do not realize that sin has no eternal life, that sin has to die, and the soul that persists thus comes into a purer life. But there are so many spirits who obsess earth people. These do not seem to lose their sin. Their sin doesn't seem to die. Yes, that is the reason they become obsessing spirits. They cannot live in the pure atmosphere of heaven, and go of their own accord to find some life upon which they can fasten themselves and thus live out their evil existence. There is so much that is not understood. Life, human and spiritual, is so complex that it takes long to even understand it, to separate the good from the evil. Volumes could be written upon life and thought, upon unconscious motives, subconscious evils, but it would take more of a philosopher than I ever expect to be to explain and classify. The Scandinavian, there is someone here who wishes to write, and thinks he can use your hand. We will help him.